In a time of affluence for the kingdoms of Israel. During this time, life was good, the kingdom expanded, but slowly and surely, the religious leaders became complacent about the ethics of the faith. The ritual life became elaborate, and the system of care for the vulnerable had fallen away. Amos speaks strongly to this shift. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an overflowing stream. That was Amos 5, 21 to 24. And reading in Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Jesus, 750 years after Amos, was considered a prophet like Amos. In fact, the writer of Matthew thinks of him as a new Moses, sent to lead the people back to God. Today we hear him call the people back to the covenant relationship with God. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Loyal Rue, who is the author of a book called Religion Is Not About God, wrote this: the most profound insight in the history of humankind is that we should seek to live in accord with reality. Indeed, living in harmony with reality may be accepted as a formal definition of wisdom. If we live at odds with reality, foolishly, then we will be doomed. But if we live in proper relationship with reality, wisely, then we shall be saved. Humans everywhere and at all times have had at least a tacit understanding of this fundamental principle. What we are in less agreement about is how we should think about reality and what we should do to bring ourselves in harmony with it. See, he's pointing to a very basic thing that gives rise to all faiths, really. A way of naming reality and bringing our lives in harmony with it. Basically saying that religion, faith, is about getting real. About finding the trust and courage to face reality. The way things really are. Oh, we disagree about how you might talk about the way things really are. But for the last 3 weeks, we have been taking a close look at the creation, at the unfolding of life, at what science uncovers about life, in the hopes that we might catch a glimmer of the one who is beneath all life, the Creator. That ancient poet declared, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And when you look at a supernova, you say, "Yeah, you bet they do." Our faith declares that we are made in the image of God. And when you look at the pure genius of the brain and the body, and the way that life itself actually works, protects itself, dodges and weaves through all kinds of mishaps to keep itself going, to keep itself strong. Well, yeah, the heavens and the body and life declares the glory of God. God is powerful, ingenious, and utterly biased in favor of life. And the more we look at the ongoing discoveries that science makes about the nature of life, the voice of faith looks and cries awe and praise to the Maker. And today is Worldwide Communion Sunday, the day when we are acutely aware of our sisters and brothers who gather around the table of grace across God's green earth, celebrating together the gospel of radical love, liberation, and peace. That's our way of naming reality. We as a global Christian community have an incredible opportunity to connect as at a deep level with people of faith in other parts of the world and know what is really happening, what is the reality of their life in human community. I mean, we have family everywhere. Today we celebrate that our community doesn't know bounds of time or space. When we gather at this table, we open to the presence of people all over the world who gather in huts, and on islands, and under tin roofs, and under trees, and in cathedrals of the great cities of the world, and in homes and halls, that all over the globe. And this means that we are one with those who gather, for example, with tears in their eyes in Liberia today because Ebola has decimated their church. They are our brothers and sisters. This means that we are here with our sisters and brothers in Fiji who feel the effects of climate change, the rising of the ocean because of the rising of the temperatures in the ocean and the melting of the ice cap. This means that for us who gather around this table, these global issues are not just theoretical. They are real, felt by our sisters and brothers and ourselves. This worldwide communion connects us in a real way
with real people in real communities. And if we are wise by Loyal Rue's definition, if we get real, bring ourselves in harmony with reality, the reality of our sisters and brothers around the world, then we will have lived wisely. Jesus said, seek first. This is a priority question. What's going to come first? Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all the rest will flow. Seek God's righteousness, God's right relation. He's talking about relations. He's talking about being in harmony with reality. And the prophet Amos said a similar thing when the wealthy and the powerful had gotten detached from the reality of their brothers and sisters who were vulnerable and suffering. True religion is about seeking to have our lives in harmony with the lives of our sisters and brothers, and that's what justice and right relation and righteousness, when you read it in the Bible, that's what it means. Now, getting real means that we have to become aware of what's going on, of these realities. And that can be downright depressing at times. I mean, I think about the conflicts that are going on and have kind of blown up in the Middle East and in Iraq, and it's tough. And getting real about climate change, well, that one's a really hard one, because this community stretches not just in space, but in time, so that our grandparents and our grandchildren gather around this table. And in reality, we are connected with them around this table. And that can be staggering when you think about something like climate change. It can immobilize you. But I want to tell you a story briefly before we gather around this table of what a difference it can make to people around this table in other parts of the world when some person with creativity and heart seeks right relation, seeks to bring their life, their little life, in harmony with the reality of someone in another part of the world. I mean, some of you know that I was in Guatemala this last May for a period of time. And I visited a site of struggle when I was there where local farmers are trying to keep a mining company from moving into and destroying the ecosystem that their land and water and community depends upon. It's become known as La Puya, one of several sites in Guatemala where international companies, mostly Canadian, are attempting to set up mines, mostly gold mines, against the wishes of the people that actually live in the places where the mines are intended to be located. And these companies are doing this with the active support of the notoriously corrupt Guatemalan government. I had been to La Puya back in January of 2013 visited these people who were peacefully holding the proposed mine at bay. And they had been, and when I was there in May, it had been 27 months that they had been kind of holding the mining company at bay. Well, I was going to visit on a Monday, but the Friday before that, the government set the special forces police in full riot gear on this peaceful protest with truncheons and tear gas, and over the space of a very, very conflicted half day, the special forces managed to push these local folks off the entrance to the mine in order that heavy equipment might come in behind them. You can see it, actually. You can see the excavators coming in behind. 13 people were taken to hospital. The blockade was broken. And I can tell you a whole lot more details about that. Actually, if you come to Seniors Coffee on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, you can hear more about that if you want and ask me some questions. We're also planning an evening gathering where I can fill you in on some of this stuff. This is just one example of some things I'd like to tell you about. But there is a piece of the story that you may not know at first glance, and I want to tell you about it. The word travels really fast in the 21st century. I'm sitting there in Antigua, which is like an hour and a half, 2 hours from La Puya through Guatemala City. And more powerfully, my friend Emily Smith is in New Westminster. She's an Anglican priest and serves a community in New Westminster. And the word just went out with pictures and everything, out that very morning, Friday morning, on Facebook and all kinds of social media. I received it in Antigua, she received it in New West, and it went all over the world. And Emily picks up the phone and calls the CEO of the mining company that is trying to get in there at home and says, "Do you know what's happening on your mining site on your behalf? Make it stop." Amen. This is Emily. It's happening right now and you can make it stop. And then she goes and gets her starchiest of black shirts and white collars and her icon of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and a couple of friends of hers, and they go down to the head offices of Radius Mining in downtown Vancouver, and she starts taking selfies of Mary and her people at Radius, and then goes in and says, "Do you know what's happening on your behalf in Guatemala? Make it stop." She's a feisty one. I went to La Puya on the Saturday. The police had moved in on the Friday. I went on the Saturday with my newfound friend, James Rodriguez, who speaks both Spanish and English, because I was feeling a little uncertain about going there with the amount of Spanish that I had. The place looked like martial law had been declared. Riot police were everywhere, taking pictures of anyone who poked their head up. People had who had gathered there for these months were holding a meeting, and you'd think that the day after being pushed off a place where you had been holding your ground for 27 months, you'd be feeling discouraged. And in fact, they were, many of them. But they very quickly changed strategies. They had UN human rights observers there on site. And when the news that Emily had called the CEO of the company at home and was heading down to Radius's head office, there was a visible change of spirit, a lifting. They were not alone. The world was there. It's just one thread of connection in all those many threads of connection that we have. These relationships, nurtured in justice and peace, are powerful. Very powerful today, even more so than they were before, because of our ability to communicate with each other. They can make a real difference if we are aware of them and if we deliberately foster them. Several Roman Catholic priests from the neighborhood villages came the next day and celebrated Mass on site, gathered, created a table under the trees right there on the dirt road. Let's bring the body of Christ broken, the blood of Christ poured out here in this place. It's Today, Worldwide Communion, as we gather around this table, I want to name Yolanda, and I want to name Doña Berta, and I want to remember those who gather at tables with the reality of their life. All those who celebrate communion there and in so many places, seeking justice and peace, seeking right relation with the earth, seeking healing. We name them in prayer, and we make these prayers real by nurturing our relationships, those threads that connect us, not only through the ritual of bread broken and wine outpoured, but rooted in what Amos called justice, rolling down like waters, and righteousness, what Jesus called the kingdom of God. And in this way, it is both ritual life and justice together. And we get real. Amen.